Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about one of Jesus' best known and loved parables, the parable of the prodigal son. We've been using this parable to expound on our theme, which we're calling Aha, meaning awakening, honesty, and action. This parable started in the father's house. The father's house was a good place. We had a man, his wife, they had two sons, and they had an estate that was big enough. The sons were interested in staying there until the younger son got old enough that he very arrogantly demanded his half of the inheritance, and he wanted to go live life his own way. And so this broke his father's heart, but we're told that the dad did divide the wealth, and he gave it to the younger son, and that younger son went on his way. Where did he go? Jesus says in the story he went to the distant country. We're not exactly sure. It was just a story, right? But he went away from the father's house, and it said he spent all of his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, Murphy showed up. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and the people in that country were experiencing a famine. All of his money was gone, all of his friends were gone, and he was left feeding pigs. Not a good job for a Jewish young man. And so we talked about a line that Jesus put in the story that's pretty amazing. It says, when he finally came to his senses, and that tells us when he wanted to leave his father's house, when he arrogantly asked for his inheritance, he wasn't thinking right. But now he's finally coming to his senses, and he has this sudden awakening. He realized where he was. He realized where he is, and he realized where he could be. And we talked about the same thing is true for us. Sometimes we find ourselves away from the Father's house by choices we've made. And this sudden awakening occurs when we realize the place we left, where we were. We realized the pig pen that we've made of our situation and realized we could go back. The second step of aha is the brutal honesty. And this is being honest about circumstances, being honest about what brought you to the pig pen, and being honest about the consequences of those decisions. And last week we talked about the third element of aha, the immediate action. And this is knowing where you are, knowing where you're going home, and knowing who is waiting for you. And we want to talk today a little bit more about who is waiting for you. But you know, at any of the points along the plot of an aha story, it is really easy to get stuck. There's a lot of people that have a sudden awakening to their circumstances, but fewer people are brutally honest about it, and even fewer people are willing to take the immediate action. But when the Holy Spirit leads us on the path of an aha experience, not every story ends back at the Father's house. Some people get stuck. And so these three elements are so important. And for the aha to take place, you have to get through all three of them. You can see God's fingerprints on the whole process when you get through it. You know, the Holy Spirit's guided you and He gave you the power each step you took. But the aha story isn't over just yet. And so I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to Luke chapter 15. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you can find this on page 840. We're going to be reading starting in verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Now, we talked last week about when the young man rehearsed this saying. He had no idea how his father would respond. I think most people in the crowd, as they listened to Jesus tell that story, they thought, man, when this kid gets home, is his father going to give it to him, right? He would probably have the folded arms and the scowl. There might even be the wagging finger. I told you not to do this, son. And the boy recognized that he'd rather face his dad's anger and be a servant in the father's house than to stay living in his pig pen. And nothing could have prepared this young man for the father's reaction. It said, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. His dad was watching for him. And when he saw him, he ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. Now again, this doesn't strike us the same way as it would have struck the people back in that day. Because if you were a father, and if you were an estate owner, if you were a man of means, you didn't run anywhere. People served you. If you also think about the attire of people during that time, this man would have likely been in a robe. Most of us men can't realize what running in a robe feels like, but a lot of ladies that wear skirts, you know, that's a hard thing. So if he's going to run to his son, he's likely got to hike up his robe so he doesn't trip over it as he runs to his son. And he embraces this son and he kisses him. Once again, all things that probably would have been very unexpected. This is why in last week's message I introduced to you the idea that I think this parable has been misnamed. We know it as the prodigal son. Some more contemporary translations will call it the parable of the lost son. And again, we probably do that because this is a trilogy of parables. We have the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, so we naturally want to keep it going and say the lost son. But I think the emphasis of the story here is totally different. It's not on the lost son and the poor choices he made. The emphasis of Jesus' account here is the reaction of this loving father. Because he wants people to understand how the Heavenly Father is going to respond when people who have walked away from him and squandered their lives in wild living, how's that Father going to respond when people come back to him? Let's pick it up in verse 22. His father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. The party began. It was a celebration.
It's a celebration.
Yeah. His father had been looking for his son. He saw him and he welcomed him home with open arms. Bring out the robe. Clean him up. Put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. It's time to party.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah. So the aha didn't end with the sudden awakening. It didn't end with brutal honesty. It didn't end with immediate action. This aha story ends with a celebration. And that's how the Lord feels when those who are lost and away from the Father's house come back home. Isn't that awesome? Now, this son, he says, this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found. And this was cause for great, great celebration. And that's why I think the parable should be called the parable of the loving father. Because the emphasis of this story is on the father's reaction, and it would have blown all of his listeners away. None of them would have expected that. Now, I want to remind you that this is, again, in a trilogy of parables. The first parable was about the lost sheep, then the lost coin, then the lost son. Jesus wants to make a point here. And in Luke 15, verse 11, right before he tells this parable, it says, "To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story." Now, when somebody tells you something once, you should pay attention. When someone tells you something twice, you know it's important to them. But if they tell you three times, they're trying to get the message through. And Jesus wanted to make this point, so he told these three parables. Now, in the first parable again, the parable about the lost sheep, let's go back and see what he says. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." And here's the point Jesus wants to make. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed. Verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search for it carefully? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." And here's the application in verse 10. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Isn't that amazing? Now, when I was in college, there was a guy who was on his way to the contemporary Christian music circuit. He would hang out with people like Michael W. Smith and Rich Mullins and many of these guys that were just on their way coming up. His name was Larry Bryant. And he wrote a pretty cool song on his first album that was based on this text. It's called "That's When the Angels Rejoice." Now, a couple years ago, I shared this song with you, and I shared Larry's version of the song. I wanted you to hear it again today since we're talking about this scripture. But I found on the internet a version of this that's done by the Gaither Vocal Band. And so I thought I'd let you listen to it. But as you listen, I'm not going to have the lyrics up today, but as you listen to all of the amazing things that people have created, invented, and done that don't hold a candle to the celebration that's going on in heaven.
At the completion of the golden gate, angels did not celebrate.
And when the right boys flew their bird, no angelic shouts were heard.
There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice.
That's when the angels rejoice.
Now when the light bulb first lit up the town, no, the angels did not dance around.
And when the man stepped on the moon, they didn't sing a victory tune. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice.
That's when the angels rejoice. Now heaven doesn't strike up the band for any old occasion at hand.
It's gotta be a special
didn't bring all heaven to its feet.
And when the first computer was born, they didn't blow old Gabriel's horn.
There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice.
That's when the angels rejoice. Now when the United States became a nation, there was no angelic celebration. But one lost sinner comes back home, they jump for joy around the throne. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner.
And that's what Jesus wanted us to understand. There's only one thing that makes heaven erupt, and that's when lost people come back home. That's the message of this parable. This is the good news that's proclaimed by Jesus. Your aha story doesn't have to end in a sudden awakening. It doesn't have to end in brutal honesty. And it doesn't have to end in taking those first steps of immediate action. God wants to write the last chapter of your aha story as a celebration. Our Heavenly Father is a celebrating God, and He loves to celebrate the return of all of His children. He never gets tired of watching the dark figures of His children approaching at a distance. He never gets tired of running out to meet them. He never gets tired of welcoming them home and embracing those who were lost but are now found, who were dead but who are now alive. And if you're here today and you've realized that in some way or another you've left your Heavenly Father and you've been caught up in wild living in the distant country away from Him, if you've had a sudden awakening, if you've had a brutally honest look in the mirror, and if you've resolved to take immediate action and get up and go home to your Father, if you look closely, you just might see Him running to meet you. So my challenge for you today is this. If you've walked away from the Father's house and found yourself in the distant country, it's time to come home. But I know there's many of you that have already found your way home, but you have family members or friends that have not. This parable gives us great hope, and I hope it will encourage those of you that have already made it home to your Father's house. I hope it'll give you the encouragement to keep calling those that you love and care about to come back home too. They will not find a father with folded arms and a scowl. They will not find a father with a wagging finger and an "I told you so." They will find a Heavenly Father who welcomes them with open arms and is ready to celebrate. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the rich meaning in this parable. This parable I love to refer to as the parable of the loving Father. For truly your intent here was not to focus on the poor decisions of the young man, because we all can relate to that. But most of us have experienced a time, whether it's been with a parent, whether it's been with a spouse, whether it's been with a boss, or some other person in our lives, when we've come to terms that we can acknowledge we've made poor decisions, we're used to the folded arms and the scowl. We're used to the wagging finger and "I told you so." But in this story, Lord Jesus, you tell us that our Heavenly Father is not like that. That no matter what we've done, and no matter where we've been, we are welcome to come home and receive His mercy and His grace. And so, Father, we thank You that You welcome prodigals. We thank You that Your mercy and grace doesn't hold our sins against us, but that You sent Your Son to pay the price for our sins so that we could be restored to a right relationship with You. Help us, Father, to celebrate what You've done in our lives, and help us to communicate what You're willing to do to restore others who have not made it home yet to a right relationship through the love and the sacrifice of Jesus. Help us, Father, to be Your ambassadors to spread this message of love so that others will come running like a prodigal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon?